Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
What's up, Pennsylvania? Yeah, y'all know the deal. Turn down the volume because we coming in hot. And you can't stop me. It is what it is. I am a woman who understands she has purpose. And I mean, I say this all the time. You got to know what's worth fighting for. And I believe truth is worth fighting for. I believe our family is worth fighting for. And I believe our country is worth fighting for. So you can't stop me. Woo! Play it one more time. Here we go. Y'all ready? You are listening to Kathy Barnett. I am sitting in for my double good girlfriend, Dawn Stensland, on the Dawn Stensland Show. We have a full 2 hours, which probably going to feel like 15 minutes. I do like 5 hours of prep for what feels like 15 minutes each hour. But joining me for this first hour is my new friend. Kind of new, kind of not new. It's like when I see you, I feel like we just pick up where we left right. off. This is Chris Tremoglia. Did I pronounce that right?
Tremoglia.
Tremoglia. Okay. Chris.
Yes.
Reporter and editor at Washington Examiner. I get your emails almost every day. I read them whenever they pop up. Great insight, and I wanted to invite you in.
Thank you. Appreciate for having me on. Thanks for thinking of me.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. You said it when we were out in the hall before we walked in here, and I feel it all the time. I mean, trying to keep up with what's going on in the media is like trying to drink water from a fire hydrant.
For sure.
I think it's intentional, as I said to you. We're constantly being encouraged to be enraged about something.
Absolutely, yeah. Totally. It's like a constant feed of anger. It just comes out on the social media nowadays.
It is.
Especially with Trump in office. It's just kind of like, you know, vilifying anything and everything he does. He sneezes the wrong way. He gets criticized. He does, you know, putting together all these like peace deals for countries across the world. And he's getting vilified for that. So doing things with Russia and Ukraine that no one could do, still haven't finished it all, the job yet, but it's doing what he hasn't, no one other, you know, leaders have been able to do, and gets criticized for that. So, and it's, like you said, it's just constantly coming out on social media. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, quite frankly, Trump could walk on water and they will say he's not doing it right.
Right, yeah. No, or cure cancer and it'd be something wrong with that. Or
it'd
do
be something
anything.
Wrong with
it
that.
Just no matter what he does, he gets kind of beat up on.
And you know what? You know, I come very prepared always. But then I walk in and the producer, Dan, gave me a cut sheet. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to just go with your cut sheet. Dan, play number 12 on the cut sheet, because I think this kind of sums up the Democrat Party.
If they give you a gift, take the gift. All right. The vice president came to Georgia and he said he's attacking me because I voted against this. Well, guess what? I did. And I would do it again and again and again and again. Take when you get a gift, take the goddamn gift. And J.D. Vance, and you and I have talked about this, I'm going to talk about it publicly. He went on vacation. People, Florida resorts are hurting. Las Vegas tourism is down substantially. The national parks, Yellowstone's down 15%. So, okay, he's entitled to a vacation. I'll give him that. Guess where he went? To a place called Oxfordshire in England, which is a Tony wealthy place that rich Londoners go to. It's called the Martha's Vineyard of England. And why we didn't blow this up? Okay, why didn't the Tourist Association of the Florida Panhandle blow this up? The Las Vegas people.
I want to keep going, but I think it just goes on and on and on. But essentially what he's saying is use J.D. Vance and just kick the you-know-what out of him every chance you get. This is the strategy of the Democrat Party.
Just kick the out of him every chance you get.
Yeah, just, I mean, like, that is their strategy. The man goes on vacation. Okay, we'll give them that everybody needs to take a vacation. But their big aha is we should just pounce on him every chance we get because he didn't take a vacation in America. Right. He actually went outside of the country. That is it, right? So we got real problems, but they're so obsessed with nothing. They have nothing.
Absolutely
no good policies to make our lives better, to close the border, to stop the drugs, to stop the mutilation of our children's body. The fact that our America is at the bottom of most of the of the academic tiering when we compare our education system to that of the world. No, we're not going to focus on that. Find something nebulous that no one cares about except for the fact that we can use it to say something. That is the Democrat Party.
That was James Carville, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does. The guy, I have no idea why anyone gives him attention, yet he's constantly on political talk shows. The guy hasn't had a right political prediction since 1992 or something, and he constantly but this is why. Like, listen to what he's saying. Like you said, there's no policy, there's no substance there. It's just attacking Vance for going on vacation, as if the presidents and vice presidents of our country don't go on luxurious vacations. As if that's never happened before.
As if most Americans don't go on luxurious vacation. But that's not the point.
It's just that you're trying to, like you said, rage bait and get, like, what are you going to get? Oh my, how dare he go on vacation to the vice president of the United States? If Kamala Harris did this, no one would have cared. Would he be saying, oh, well, it was wrong for her to be doing that, she should be in the... No, it's just...
Yeah.
They find, like you said, there's nothing substantive there. It's just constantly trying to bait people into being angry over the dumbest things. And this is one of the dumbest things. There's nothing to be...
And just kick out of him.
Yeah, like...
Take J.D. Vance and just kick the crap out of him every chance you get. That is the political strategy of the left and how they're going to win come next year in the midterms and come in 2028. They have nothing to offer us.
He called this a gift. What's the gift? That the vice president went to overseas to Europe? I mean, plenty of Americans do that during the summer. I don't know what the gift is here. Like, what, that's what I'm talking about. They just have nothing. It's just they're constantly just trying to – I still think they're very dangerous in far political movement,
yes.
But – so we shouldn't just say, oh, they're lost.
Right.
But they are really lost. They're just kind of like throwing everything to see what sticks. And then they're going to kind of run on that. And this is like a perfect example of you're going to bash them. Like, what is he supposed to do? You know, like just not going because for what reason? Like, there's nothing that just makes no sense. But like I said, that's James Carville. And he
again,
nothing to talk about. So let's just make up a fake outrage and make up a controversy.
And this is what social media has come to. I was telling you, I get over a million impressions on Twitter alone, just Twitter alone. And I basically just trashed it because I just stopped going out to Twitter because in order to keep that level of engagement, you just got to constantly feed the algorithm.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, how can you be happy? A happy person living your own life, living out your own purpose, walking down your own path. If you're constantly enraged and trying to get other people enraged, I want to have substantive conversations. Let's talk about policies. Let's talk about, you know, yes, you may think you disagree with me and maybe we really do disagree, but do we disagree on the 80% of things that actually impact our lives
right.
toward the positive? I don't think so. I think most Americans agree. Yes, you have the lunatics, the white-haired old people that are outside of Union Station.
The hippies that Stephen hippies. Miller called them. The hippie communists, he called them, which I love because that's such an accurate... It's like they're literally the descendants, or not even descendants, I guess, at this point. They were the Woodstock attendees.
Yes!
Like,
well,
now they're at Union Station. They went from Woodstock to Union Station to protest stopping crime. Like, think about how absurd this is. They are angry that people are trying to stop violent crime in a city that I believe, depending on some statistics, had the fourth highest violent crime rate in the U.S.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
And this is mad. Like, what?
And they're the most
vulnerable.
That. And I mean, like,
well, not the white hippies. They're not. They're nowhere
near.
Well,
no, but what I'm saying is because of their age and their fragility, that the fact that they're frail and they can't really fight off a violent gang
right.
of young people who want to just mob them. you would think they would be even more hypersensitive to security. I know we got to take a break. When we come back, I want to play number 35A, that clip from J.D. Vance, speaking right to what you're saying about safety. And then let's play a clip on these white hippies, as Stephen DeMiller called them. Okay, guys, you're listening to Kathy Barnett sitting in for Don Stensland on the Don Stensland Show. Here's the call in number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Call me. Let's talk about it. What? Hey, y'all, how you doing? Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Ohio, Michigan. Who's that girl over there? Oh, that's me. What's up? This is Kathy Barnett sitting in for Don Stensland on the Don Stensland Show. Just bringing some humor because you have to. I do. I honestly thank God every day that I wake up choosing to be happy. Oh, because it's a choice, people. Hey, here we go. I know this isn't. Woo! Let me tell y'all, okay? I have walked behind some dark curtains these past 5 years. I understand, Dan, when they say ignorance is bliss. There are times I wish I could go back to just being a stay-at-home mom, homeschooling my children, worried about how many people are going to come to my pool party, right? But I decided to get my head out of the sand and to get engaged in the culture around us. And let me tell you, it's dark, guy. So you got to choose to be happy.
Megan Trainor helps make you happy, though. Let's see,
she really does. She you does. Should see me.
Chris, you're a big Megan Trainor.
You know, I have this song on my workout playlist. I am not afraid to admit, when I'm on my Peloton trying to like leave it, I have some Megan Trainor. So feel free to judge me all you want.
Let me tell you guys, I am now up to 5 miles running, right? Yes, I'm trying. I have committed to doing a half marathon next year right now. I'm kind of a long way off, almost halfway, maybe not really, but I'm up to 5 miles.
That's great. Megan, I don't think I've ran 5 miles in my entire life.
Let me tell you something. Cumulatively?
Yeah, no. I have done it at one time. I think the most I've ever done at one time in a run was 3 miles. So
3 miles.
And
well,
I was like,
good.
No more, no need. No, humans don't need to do this ever. You know, there's no need for go beyond three.
Let me tell you, Megan Trainor is a part of it.
There you go. If I had Megan Trainor playing 5 miles, maybe I could go on it.
I wanna be me too. I wanna be me. That's me running up that hill, thinking to myself, don't think about the pain. Just listen to Megan. Okay, listen, let's play that Stephen Miller clip.
That a city can serve for the law-abiding citizens who live there. We are not gonna let the communists destroy a great American city, let alone the nation's capital. And let's just also address another thing. All these demonstrators that you've seen out here in recent days, all of these elderly white hippies, they're not part of this city and never happened. And by the way, most of the citizens who live in Washington, D.C. are black. This is not a city that has had any safety for its black citizens for generations. And President Trump is the one who is fixing that with the support of the Metropolitan Police Department, the support of the National Guard, and our federal law enforcement officers. So we're going to ignore these stupid white hippies and all these go home and take a nap because they're all over 90 years old. And we're going to get back to the business of protecting the American people and the citizens of Washington.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, I am not a fangirl. I think I've been to two concerts in my life, and they were both Christian concerts.
Okay. Really?
No Megan Trainor concerts?
I know. I'm just not a fangirl. Like, listen, I go to YouTube. I find the songs I like. I go about my business, right? I'm not fangirling over anybody, right? I got my own life. But I know it's really sad. I don't go to concerts to Christians. However, I do feel like I could be a fangirl over Stephen Miller.
Okay. Well, He does give like blunt truth. I mean, that's just what it is right there.
You know, I'm loving that.
Yeah.
I'm loving
doesn't
that.
Doesn't sugarcoat it, doesn't mince words.
Not communist.
Blunt truth. White hippie communist. Yes.
Communist. Elderly white hippie. Stupid white hippies who need to go take a nap. How can you not love that? Do we have... So, I mean, but the reality is, what Donald Trump has done in 9 days, just 9 days, people. I think J.D. Vance said it best. Do we have that clip ready?
Entire world. Let's free Washington, D.C. so that young families can walk around and feel safe and secure. That's what we're trying to free D.C. from. And as Stephen said, it's kind of bizarre that we have a bunch of old, primarily white people who are out there protesting the policies that keep people safe when they've never felt danger in their entire lives.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And then he went on Laura Ingraham and he said violent crime has dropped in D.C. 35% in 9 days. Robberies in D.C. have dropped 55% in 9 days. We don't have to live in lawlessness. We don't have to live like third world backwood country. This is America, the greatest nation in the world. And yet you drive, I mean, you just drive down to Center City and all you smell is urine, right? We don't have to live like that.
Not at all. And you made an excellent point. And it's like, who's getting mad at this? Like, why would, in what world? I mean, I didn't go to Woodstock. I don't know the hippie mentality. So I don't know.
I wasn't born then.
I don't know. I don't know what their anger is about. Like, who gets angry that crime is dropping? Who gets angry that people can walk around D.C. and not be harmed and not be carjacked? I mean, who did the absurdity overdoing this? The absurdity over the anger of the Trump administration doing is just maniacal. If you think about it, like, they're really angry that D.C. is becoming safer, or they didn't want D.C. to be. And then my favorite part was when they were saying, oh, well, crime is dropping. Like, okay, so clearly it can drop more, and it didn't take much to do it. Like,
nine
why did it take
days.
This long to get to this point where if it's so, you know, we have to do all these things with the crime and whatnot and have to be sensitive, yet you come in, you take care. And it's not even like they're doing anything there. They're just, if you look at the video, they're monitoring, they're patrolling simple, basic law enforcement stuff that's not requiring the biggest, you know, or drastic measures that just they weren't doing. And it's like they kind of sort of wanted crime to happen so they can make a political deal out of it. Yet, you know, the Trump administration showing he wants to make people, wow. He wants to safer communities.
I mean, you have said a lot right there, and it brings me back. I mean, you know, although I was running as a very, I mean, if I was cut, I would bleed red, white, blue, and Jesus. I am conservative through and through,
absolutely.
Right? And I'm a Republican, and I was running as a Republican, and I talked about Jesus when I wanted to talk about Jesus,
right.
Just like I talked about the flag. And I remember going to Black Lives Matter rallies. They would not invite me, although I was the first Black person to ever be doing the things that I was doing. And at that time, it was all about being Black and the first Black person. But I called the NAACP guy and I said, surely you intended to invite me to this Black Lives Matter rally. There's going to be a lot of Black people there. And he said, no, I didn't intend to invite you. So what did I do, being the stubborn person that I am?
Vibrant. Don't say stuff. Vibrant.
Vibrant. Yeah. Okay. I love that. I take that. I showed up with my little white team full of Catholics. I love the Catholics. And I walked up on stage and I took the mic and I started talking to all these Black people. And I was like, I mean, and what you just said, it brought me back to that moment, is that what Donald Trump has done in 9 days could have always been done.
Mm-hmm.
And Black people are waking up, especially Black men. I'm very proud of that. I saw that back in 2022 when I would go into, you know, predominantly Black communities. And it was the Black men who were like, girl, yes. But Black men are waking up. But this could have always been done. How many children have been lost to gang violence, to drugs, to all of this foolishness that we've been, and
generation.
Democrats and these controlled Democrat, you know, squalors, they keep promising, oh, this year's going to be different. This election is going to be different. And yet 60 plus years later, Black people are still waiting. And I would ask Black people when I would go to these Black Lives Matter rallies, how many more generations are you willing to sacrifice to the vacuous promises of the Democrat Party?
Yeah. And that's absolutely true. And you could even use that example in Philadelphia, right? You don't even have to go to D.C. Look at the before, to her credit, Cheryl Park, when she came in, made changes to law enforcement. Crime went down. Crime's down this year as well. So you have to give her credit for there. But who was her predecessor? Jim, you know, Kenney, who I'm sure was probably a white hippie at some point in his life. And what did he do? He oversaw the tenure when he was mayor of the historic levels of homicides in the city, and he didn't want to do it anything about it. Mayor Parker came in and was going to say, like, we're bringing in more law enforcement officers. We're bringing in police. Shocker, right? More police officers patrolling equals less crime. Who knew? Like, you know, it's only like, you know, the millennia of human civilization to figure this out. So the fact that this, you know, it's just there's like this, the Trump administration is more common sense than, you know, Kenny or Democrats or anything. And they're taking, you know, this crime seriously and making it safer. Why anyone would be upset? Well, like you said, how many people have to die? How many people did die unnecessarily because Democrat politicians wanted to adhere to their neo-Marxist beliefs that just radicalized everything and made things worse than, you know, do what they were supposed to do as elected officials?
I know. Black people should be real pissed. Because if this could be done in 9 days, guess what? This could have been done 10 years ago, 20 years ago, right? Yeah. Maybe your son would still be alive today if we actually took. I mean, and again, it's just so insane. Black people did not come up with the concept of defund the police. It's stupid.
Oh, white liberals came up with
white liberals, living behind gated communities, living in communities that look more like mine. Right. Because let me tell you something, in my community, oh, you best believe the trash is picked up on time. You best believe the police. I'll never forget Fox News. They would pick me up 2 to 3 times a week for 4 years during the first Trump administration. And they would send a limousine down and they would drive me all the way up to Manhattan. But they would pick me up very early in the morning. And one morning, a limousine was sitting in my driveway. But it was very early in the morning. And the police drove by and went and carded my limousine driver, right? That's the community I live in, right? Because we understand we want the safety, right? So why on God's green earth would we all come around as a nation and say, yeah, let's defund the police, but not in my community, but in those communities that need it the most.
Exactly. And that's the biggest hypocrisy out of all this thing is there. Rhetoric, their policies, their ideologies, their principles or lack thereof have caused irreparable harm for generations to, you know, black people, to not even just people living in poor communities that have a lot of crime. I mean, I grew up in South Philadelphia. I was, I don't know if you're familiar with, like, on Oregon Avenue. I was 2 years ago, I was teaching a karate class at Shin Karate on 7th Oregon. There was a drive-by shooting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, like 100 feet from where we were, you know, in a school full of young children. And it doesn't, and you said, it doesn't have to be this way. Look at the steps the Trump administration, not to repeat myself, they took. And it wasn't even drastic steps. It wasn't like the militarization of police. They just had a presence there. They just showed up. They had checkpoints. Just, you know, you could even say this is probably, you know, a very minimal tactics used to deter crime.
Yeah.
Just because of a president. It's not like they're like going around, you know, walking up and down, you know, parading around.
Exactly.
It's just simple stuff that could be done that they Democrats chose not to.
That could have always been done. Yeah, listen, black people, they hate you. Poor people, they hate you. They want you to stay poor.
And they want them to be dependent on the government.
They want you to stay poor.
Yes, for sure.
Because I can control you better, right? So these woke, white, stupid, liberal hippies who should be taking a nap, those are all the labeling that Steve Miller did. I'm about to start fangirling over him. I think I may actually go out there and start following him. Okay, guys, you're listening to Kathy Barnett and my friend Chris
Tremolia,
reporter and editor at Washington Examiner. Go out there, Washington Examiner, find him, Chris
Tremolia,
and follow him. I'll see y'all on the other side. I'm a bee right on these on this news right here. Chris, thank you so much for being here and in studio with me, reporter and editor at Washington Examiner. I want to pivot real quick to, I mean, speaking of white
liberals,
stupid hippie, communists. Liberals, communists, who should be taking a nap, all the labels that Steve Miller applied to these people. Listen to Cracker Barrel's CEO, Julie Feltz.
I think so.
Speak.
Honestly, the feedback's been overwhelmingly positive that people like what we're doing. I'll give you another soundbite. I actually happened to be in Orlando last week with all of our managers. We bring them together and every other year. And the number one question that I got asked, Michael, was, how can I get a remodel? When can I get a remodel? How do I get on the list?
That's a lie.
So because
things that never happen for 500, Alex.
Good, not only from our customers, but from our team members. They want to work in a wonderful restaurant. So
that's a lie.
Oh, God.
That's a lie, people.
YouTube.com/F12WPHT to see the logo. And Sean Farish, I think, put it best this morning, Kathy. In the new logo, they lost both the cracker and the barrel. Yes.
I know, right? It's so crazy. This did not happen. No one said, hey, Cracker Barrel, get rid of the white man sitting
to a barrel, right?
Yeah. The white man sitting next to a barrel. No, said no one ever.
Yeah. No. 5 years from now, people who aren't really familiar with Cracker Barrel drive by and see, they're going to think it's like a barrel store or something.
I mean,
not
it's
like,
stupid.
No, it's like a restaurant.
It is stupid. You know, the old logo, because I love going to Cracker Barrel, and I actually sit in those rocking chairs outside. I mean, it's like a throwback to simpler times when life was easier.
Right, yeah.
It's real nostalgic. You have comfort food on the inside. I always went shopping. Because they always have like the retail store up in the front, and they always have these feel-good, wholesome, clean kind of feeling, and I'm a country girl at heart, and now it goes to, now this new one is sterile, it looks soulless, so instead of just pushing biscuits, now they're pushing more woke ideology and a bunch of lies.
This just screams gluten-free or something. You
know? It screams gluten-free. Nothing that people like you and I would want to go to. Right?
Nothing
I want
that
a biscuit.
Clientele wanted to go for. Like, I just want to know who asked for this. Who was sitting in Cracker Barrel and said, "You know, it would be a good idea. Let's get rid of our, you know, iconic logo
and make it sterile."
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna, I'm all for renovating and making things better, but this is sterile and stupid. It's like a bizarre case of brand suicide. Like, how can we murder ourselves? Oh, I know.
Did they ever? I never even heard a reason why they decided to do this. Like they, I, you know,
she just told you the employees were begging for it, Chris.
Yeah, well, maybe they were begging for a change, but were they begging for like bland? I mean, you know, who's just going around saying, "Yeah." I don't know.
When I walk into Cracker Barrel, I want my biscuit to taste like a biscuit.
Right?
I want to know just by looking at it, I just gained 5 pounds. But to your point. This looks like gluten-free. This looks like it's going to taste funny. Yeah,
seriously. Like,
oh, my goodness. It's so crazy. So I want to pivot from that. I want to go right over to Sean Duffy. I'm telling you guys, I don't fangirl, but I'm beginning to crush hard on some of these people. Not really. So calm down, husband, if you're listening to this. I'm not crushing on nobody. But, they're speaking my language. I was waiting for someone. Oh, my God. I don't even know if you have this one, Dan, ready. But if you can find it, remember that AG who was talking about, I'm an AG.
Oh, the
I'm
Rhode
an
Island
AG.
Women? Oh, God, yes.
That's later. I was so happy when he slammed the door in her face.
That was
when
the
he
best.
Put her in cuffs, when they almost body slammed the other girl. I was like, yes, make law and order sexy again. I love it.
It was just then when they closed the door, when she was like, I'm an A. Yeah, this is like, oh, it's beautiful.
I'm sure you guys saw that. But before we go there, I want to go to cut number 30.
Been brought to the nation's attention with this crash. But this is something that the department has been working on for months. Again, we're concerned that we have too many people who have come into the country. They might have even gotten work permits and they can't speak the language and they're getting full term CDLs. That's exactly what Washington did for this driver, giving him a full-term CDL. By the way, Charlie, that's reserved for American truck drivers, American citizens to have that full-term CDL. And then California gave the same a CDL to him as well when his Washington one expired. But here's the real problem. We came out in May and said, listen, English only Our English proficiency for truck drivers is critical for safety. And now some of the left gave us blowback and they gave us pushback and they said we were being too harsh. They were anti-immigrant. And we said, no, no, this is about safety. You have to be able as a truck driver to understand the road signs. But also if you're pulled over, you have to be able to communicate whether you're at a weigh station or with law enforcement. What's on your load? What are you carrying? Where are you going? Where are you coming from? You have to be able to communicate with law enforcement. And so this driver was pulled over in New Mexico last month in July after our initiative was fully in the works. And they failed in New Mexico and they pulled him over for speeding to give him the English test. And had they done that, they would have put his vehicle out of service and taken him off the road. But because they didn't follow our directive, he went back on the road and was able to commit this horrific crash.
I'm telling you, I was pissed. I still feel pissed. I feel emotional. When I think about, I mean, like, this could have been my family. And you guys remember, we saw it. We all saw it. This guy, illegal, Indian, can't speak the language, looked like he had no emotions whatsoever. And he does this stupid, crazy U-turn on a freeway. And then a family of three driving dies.
Yeah.
And I heard no lies with what Sean Duffy said, Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy said. English only. This is America. You don't like it, then go back to where you came from. Period. We have to do a better job of assimilating people into this country. You don't come over here and think you're going to speak your language only, think you're going to live according to your value system from the country you just fled from. If you like it so much, go back.
Yeah, no, this has been a thing for a while. I remember Joey Vento at Gino's Steaks did this, like, I think, probably when that Black Eyed Peas song came out in like 2010 or something. It was around there. There was this huge controversy in Philadelphia that they were trying to say, oh, it's racist, it's bigoted. Again, common sense, like white liberals getting angry over more crime and protecting people from crime. White liberals getting upset that you want to speak English in the country where we speak English. It's like going over to Italy and getting, you know, upset that they're not speaking, you know, they're only speaking, you know, you want to speak English and they speak Italian. It's, or, you know, go to another country. Like, no other countries do this. I mean, they have, like, once you're in your country, the things are written, you know, they may appeal to tourism and have things in English because it's like the language of the world, so to speak. But yeah, this shouldn't even be controversial. Like, you know, why would you need your employees to speak the language of the company you're working for? I wouldn't go over to Italy and, you know, working at a whatever company there and get mad that they needed me to learn Italian. You would expect that.
They don't really care about these people.
No, they don't. There's just something to get angry about.
Well, I mean, because it's powerful, right? Mm-hmm. They understand these white, stupid, hippie liberals who need to go take a nap. They understand that this gives them power. It allows them to be able to force their agenda, their way, their will, their opinion onto other people. And it has worked. So as much as I would like to just crack jokes on these stupid white hippie liberals who need to go take a nap.
Don't forget the communist part.
Communists. I know. Add that in there too. I would love to just be able to, you know, to mean them to death. But we saw over the past, you know, I mean, really, I mean, it's been a while. This has been in the works for some time. But from 2020 on, we saw the power that this has. And what they're doing is that they're using the guilt of a nation that owns slaves. They're using that to guilt us to, and if we, because it's powerful, it's clearly powerful. If you don't allow 20 million illegals to walk right into your country, you don't know who these people are, what they're about, or any of that. If you don't allow it, if you disagree with it, you're a racist, you're a xenophobe. If you don't allow men in dresses who clearly has a mental health issue to come and gyrate in front of your five-year-old while they're putting dollar bills into their G-string, hey, you are racist. So they're using the history of America, the history of slavery in America, to shut the rest of us down and forcing us to accept things and behaviors we would never otherwise accept.
Absolutely. And they've been doing it for a while, for decades. It's It's predicated on their entire political and sociocultural platforms. It's just this revisionist weaponizing of history to demean people that have done that. That every civilization throughout history has committed these sins, yet ours are amplified as a way to kind of discredit Republicans, conservatives, Western civilization, all these things, just so they can score political points and get, you know, try to persuade people that it's not their fault. You know, it's they have like societal forces that have, you know, created these things. And it's not, I mean, they are just trying to get power by making others feel resentful.
Yeah. There's a reason why these people are trying to get into our country by hook
exactly,
or by crook.
Right?
I can assure you, 20 million people aren't trying to sneak into China unless they're coming out of North Korea, right? And there's a reason why these people want to come into our country. I understand that. We're the best. Yes. We're the greatest. Muhammad Ali is what I'm thinking of, right? I'm the best. I'm the greatest. We get that, right? But these people are living in these backwood countries with these dictators because they're not like us, right? So and I don't care if you feel some kind of way about it. The fact is, in 1776, a group of very brilliant men and women came together and said, we no longer want to be ruled by a dictator. And we did the hard work of freeing this country and creating a space for generations. I'm a part of that generation, right? So instead of fleeing over to this country, all of these working age men, these young, healthy, military age men who are fleeing from their backwood country to come into our country, why don't you get together and do what we did in 1776 and make your country great again, right?
Exactly.
And if you don't like what I'm saying, then don't come.
Right.
But don't call me a racist or xenophobic.
The people that make those comments that say I love the fife and drum going on in the background here, too. I wanted to give a side there to Dan. But the things, speaking of actually fife and drum, so on 4th of July, I don't know if they do it anymore, but City of Philadelphia would have, around that time, they had the Welcome America Festivals. And one of the events that they used to have is they would have like an immigration naturalization ceremony. And a few years ago, I was writing for a National Review, and they had one at Betsy Ross House. And it was maybe between 10 and 20 immigrants that were coming over that were getting naturalized on July 4th, which is like, you know, pretty much the coolest patriotic thing you could do on July 4th. And I went up to them afterwards, and it was a family from Nigeria who had immigrated from, you know, Nigeria to here.
Right.
And I asked them, and this was probably in the height of around the Kaepernick thing, the NFL kneeling, all this stuff, you know, America's racist, blah, blah, blah. I asked them, I was like, what is, you know, why would you come here? Or what do you think about this country of all the things people are saying about, you know, how racist it is and you're African coming over here? What do you say? And he just refuted everything. He's like, no, he's like, I'm bringing my family here. This is the greatest country. These people don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and it's just, that's the kind of thing. If you talk to people who are trying to come here
and
get their perspective, it's an entirely different perspective than the white, liberal, hippie, communist, wealthy Martha Vineyard, you know,
need to take a nap.
Yeah, need to take a nap. You know, living behind gated communities. You know,
we're gonna ignore them. But it's so true. I know we got a lot going on here, people. But it's so true.
Yes.
I've been in the military, having the opportunity to travel all across the world with the military. When you're in the military, you don't go to the resort communities within these countries, right? The ones that they scrub down and clean up so that people can go and spend their money there. No. When you're in the military, you go, again, behind the curtains and you really get to see, right? And as a young black girl traveling over to many parts of the world, it was an eye-opener. And it began the process of me realizing just what value, what gem we have in America.
Absolutely.
And that I want to protect it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't care if you call me names. I don't care what your opinion is. I'm right, you're wrong. We're going to be right back on the other side.
Fundamentally, I think the American people have to stand with us here. Because when we go and tell the governor of California or the governor of New York that you have to stop putting the interests of illegal aliens over American citizens, we need the American people to stand with us. And I think that they will. I think that they are. But we're definitely not going to let this slide, Laura. You can't do it. You've got to stop putting the interests of foreigners who don't have the right to be here over the interests of American citizens. That is the entire point and purpose of the Democratic Party. If you go back to the election of 2024, what was the big issue? The big issue was illegal immigration. They were actually defending the rights of illegal immigrants to come into our country, to vote in our elections, to collect Social Security and Medicaid that ought by right go to American citizens, to say nothing of housing. This is actually the biggest driver of housing costs in some of these big blue cities, is that they've flooded the zone with illegal immigrants. As we've kicked illegal aliens out of our country, you actually see housing costs start to level off. So fundamentally, the difference between Republicans and Democrats is we care about American citizens. They actually don't like American citizens and want to replace them with low-wage foreigners. It's a very stark difference, and I think the American people are going to continue to reward us because of it.
You know what? He said it perfectly. Perfect. Now, I said it more succinct. I just said Democrats hate you. But he said it with you know, like with that Harvard degree, vice president stature and polish to it. But if you narrow that down, they just hate you.
Really? So, no, they do. And Vance was correct and pointed out an important thing, because look at what they've done since Trump has been president. There was all the crime. Like, look at the attention they gave. Was that Obrego Garcia?
Yeah.
You know, they flew down to, you know,
El Salvador.
They're visiting all these ICE detention centers.
Is he okay? Are they okay?
Why are we worrying about people that are going around human trafficking, you know, committing these horrible, violent crimes? And the Democrats aren't caring about the victims. They're not visiting the families of victims. They're not visiting the families of Lake and Riley or Rachel Morin. They're going to make sure the people that are detained are being treated okay. And it's just, I mean, that's kind of, you can't get more than that when you're talking about what their priority are. The priorities are is that they just don't really care about the American people. And Trump has shown that he does. And that's the whole thing behind the Make America Great Again movement, is he wants to do that. And they hate him for it. And that's the thing. And the Democrats hate him because they don't want to do that. They want Americans to be suffering and not. And they want.
Now, listen, again, I'm black, so that means the overwhelming majority of my family are Democrats, right? Not my husband. I would have never married him. But outside of my own little house, they're all Democrats, and they're good people. They're good people. They're great people. They're some of the best people. But those people are just, you know, I love them. God bless them. But they've been manipulated, right? But the puppet masters are the ones who understand exactly what it is they're doing, and they hate us.
Yes, I brought up the thing about them visiting the detention centers. Look at what we were talking about when we first started this 10 o'clock. They're going down worrying about the criminals. They're upset that police and law enforcement are taking criminals off the street
in D.C.
Yeah, like why? Who thinks like this, and why do they think like this? Why are they're like the criminal class? They're the criminal political party, and it's just like why they want to do this instead of worrying about the welfare of American. We're just the welfare of humanity. Forget just Americans, anything. They're just more concerned with the criminals and the violent people and those causing harm in communities than the victims and the innocent people themselves.
And why are they doing it? Stephen Miller said it best, because they're communist, stupid,
liberal, white, hippie. And not taking naps. So.
Who need to take a nap.
I wish you would have thrown in there that they were like Woodstock, you know, attendees. That would have probably been like the best thing to throw it in.
They
there.
Are stupid, communist, white, liberal, hippie who hate us.
So we're going to ignore these stupid white hippies that all need to go home and take a nap.
Because they're old and stupid. I see y'all on the other side. Chris, thank you so much for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.